Welcome to episode 12 of the Match of the Week podcast here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network. I'm Tim, and with me as always is Tanner. Tanner, how we doing?
I'm doing well. By the time this podcast is out, I will have another semester under my belt. So
congratulations.
Be good stuff.
Did you partake in any of the spring football activities last weekend?
Oh no, I don't do spring football. It's bad because it's free, so everybody just comes out for spring football, and they're just like, "Oh, we're here," and it just ruins town because our city is not built to accommodate 100,000 extra people. So no, I don't get it. I didn't even watch it on TV, to be honest.
Okay, all right. So makes sense. I'm not a fan of spring football either. I also live on the West Coast, where that's really not a thing. So, but yeah, now that we're done with the Tuscaloosa update,
we need a little soundbite for it.
a little breaking news update. So we're here to talk about the WWE based WrestleMania match of the weekend. It's obviously we're talking about Undertaker John Cena, right? That's the match we're going to talk about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is going to be probably our longest podcast yet, so definitely buckle in.
We might go an hour on that one.
Yeah, maybe longer.
Maybe
a lot to talk about.
No, that's not the match we're talking about. We're talking about a match that we've been waiting basically a year to see. Even though the booking circumstances are interesting, we'll talk about that. Unsanctioned match, NXT TakeOver New Orleans, Johnny Gargano versus that piece of crap, Tommaso Ciampa. Johnny wins. He is reinstated into NXT. Spoilers, Johnny won, so he's back in NXT. I mean, we're all huge fans of Johnny Gargano. Ever since the great Dylan Hale's turn of 2016.
2015,
where he then got put over, where he put over the boys in the middle of the ring at the WWN Super Show.
Oh, wait, that was 2016. Yeah, you're right.
In 2016. One of the greatest moments in the history of professional wrestling. That Johnny Gargano, he has become, it's very odd to see that him and Daniel Bryan have become so similar in a very short amount of time as far as becoming these baby faces. And leading up to this match, you know, Gargano had the issue with Ciampa that happened at TakeOver Chicago the year before, where after the ladder match, Ciampa turned on him in spectacular fashion, gave him an air raid crash off the table onto another set of tables in the production area. But Ciampa tore his ACL that same time. And so it was a very weird scenario, but it had a built-in mechanism that pro wrestling can always pay off, and that is the slow burn. It was interesting how they got there. Gargano became the whipping boy to Andrade Cien Almas, even going as far as to have the best match in NXT history in January and losing to him. That kind of hamstrung the booking to an extent of this match, in that they basically had in their minds that this match was going to happen at WrestleMania weekend no matter what. Damn the torpedoes.
Yeah.
It probably shouldn't have gone down this way. But even with all that kind of quarterback, you know, Monday morning quarterback booking behind it, I'm going to say it, that this is a better match than Almas Gargano.
Whoa.
I think this is the best match in NXT history. I think that there's never going to be a match that NXT will ever put on that is as viscerally hateful and violent without blood in it, because you can't go to blood on an NXT show like they did in a certain match at the main event of the WrestleMania 34. But I do feel that if you're trying to tell a story that in the mold that WWE likes to tell stories, and this is like, they love the melodramatic Shawn Michaels slash Triple H type stuff in their big matches, I feel that this is the best match in NXT history. I do. And by virtue of that, I do feel like it is perhaps one of the best matches in WWE history. And I do feel that looking back on it now, I'm not sure you're going to be able to find a better combination of that atmosphere and the way the match is set up than this match. It really, from the moment that Ciampa steps out the curtain, this becomes something truly incredible. So I want to get that out of the way, because I feel like leaving that till the end, I feel like that would, I think that would just be kind of something to, I don't think the buildup would have been right. I think I want to put that out there because I feel like that's my argument for this match.
Sure.
I want to know from your end, like, because obviously, you know, you just like I was, have been part of the growth of both of these guys. And to see them have this type of match in this type of setting, I think is just a testament to how good they are and how they could pull this off. Even like I said, with the booking against them and all that stuff. So what are your thoughts? What's your immediate reaction to that?
Well, my immediate reaction to the match is, if you would have told me 2 years ago that Johnny Gargano would be a major part in the three best matches in NXT history, I would have said you were insane, because that just sounds absurd. I was never, I liked Johnny on the indies, but he never really clicked for me until he, and it sounds like such a, like a, oh wow thing, but it really didn't start clicking for me until he started working NXT and he started working shorter matches, because as a product of working for Gabe for so many years, he was working these 40 and 50 minute matches on the reg, and it just did not work for me. But then he starts working NXT and he's working like these 10 to 12 minute matches. I'm like, oh, this dude rules. And then Ciampa, on the other hand, I was always a big fan of Ciampa. I liked him in ROH. I've liked him for a while. So, and obviously I was very excited for this match with the buildup. I feel like it is weird for this match, which I feel like is probably the, I would say just in terms of build of NXT canon, probably the second biggest match in NXT history. I would say probably behind Bayley Sasha Iron Woman match, just as far as build goes. But it's weird for it to happen at NXT WrestleMania weekend, because you always think of NXT's big show being Brooklyn. So it was kind of weird for it to happen here, because I think the intention was it was going to happen in Brooklyn last year, but obviously with Ciampa's real life injury, you couldn't do it then. So on one hand, I feel like they kind of did what they could with the cards they were dealt. But on the other hand, again, with WWE loves to just drag its viewer along an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a week, weeks on end. I mean, they love that shit. So I feel like this really worked out for them in the fact that they were like, oh my God, well, this kind of happened at the best time, because now we have a built-in one-year story, and we can do whatever we want in that one-year story, because Ciampa's not even going to get clear until February. So it was kind of one of those things that kind of it worked out. And then obviously we'll get into it in a second, but a lot of that really played into this match.
Yeah, and I think that we really do, you know, we forget about the long burn. One of the things that's become interesting in pro wrestling in general is that they have to kind of go back and reference things that guys have done together or have been a part of, and like for years, like you hear about now, like some of the things you're talking about is like you're going to see Seth Rollins and Jinder Mahal at some point face off on the Raw brand, and they were the guys that fought for the NXT title 6 years ago, right? And so that's going to be used as a story. Naito and Okada, that was something that got dragged out because they came up together, right? And then that got turned into a story to be used for the Wrestle Kingdom final. The Brock Roman stuff that got turned into a three-year long story for the WrestleMania main event.
And it paid off perfectly for them.
It totally did. There's no issue. There's no problem with the finish of that match whatsoever.
No problems. None. Absolutely none. Zero. None.
None. But this was, you know, this, like you said, this had the built-in, you had a year. And so you got to have Johnny while Gargano, you know, while Ciampa's sitting there on the sidelines, you got Johnny come up and become this great, just freaking pure baby face single star. He has the match with Almas, which is, from a wrestling standpoint, probably the best wrestling match that NXT had ever had. I don't know the storyline into it. I think the finish kind of deflated it for a lot of people. But we found out that happened because they needed to get here. And that sucks in a lot of ways because of the fact that Gargano now has never beaten Almas straight up, and they blew it away on NXT TV this past week. But I feel that, like, this, from the first moment, this nobody, like, I don't know if say nobody cared, but when Ciampa steps out to no music, because the music is people booing the crap out of him, like, that's just like, okay, I'm in. I don't care what happened. We're to this point. The baseline, the bottom line is Ciampa and Gargano just getting after it. And so that when that happened, I was like, okay, let's go. I'm ready to go. Let's just freaking get into it. Man, that crowd. I've talked about how crowd can really dictate the atmosphere of a match before. This crowd, who had just seen the best NXT show ever to that point, with the ladder match and with the freaking Almas black match, which was sensational. And they still have this match to go. And it's 45 minutes from start to finish, everything that happens. Man, I still can't get over that atmosphere. It was truly everything I wanted from an atmospheric standpoint.
It's something that, because I've always felt like, obviously, you've had your hot NXT crowds before, not in Full Sail in recent memory, but in other places, especially for takeovers. But the fact that this match happened not at Full Sail in, you know, this big arena, this big 15 or 16,000 seat arena, whatever, and the whole crowd is just hot. I think a lot of people don't give NXT credit, which is kind of weird to say, but NXT is developmental. So, I mean, just like, this is your essentially, I don't even know what to even equate it to in any other profession. This is like a minor league team selling out major stadiums.
Yeah.
Like,
this is like the Scranton Yankees selling out Yankee Stadium. This is what this is.
It's and the fact that not only has it happened, but the fact that people connect to this sometimes better and in a way that you want more than stuff on the main roster, it's kind of like, they got something here. And I don't think it's any secret that takeovers have been blowing out the pay-per-views that they've been paired with for probably a solid year and a half at least.
Yeah, ever since takeover started with the network, there hasn't really been a bad takeover show. Ever.
Yeah.
That's
insane because takeovers has been happening now for over 4 years.
Yeah.
And just think about, just think about the quality we've seen on takeovers. We saw the DIY revival series, Cesaro, Zayn Neville, Zayn All Owens, the Sasha Bailey feud. Like it's absurd the amount of quality that we have got from takeovers. Like, I don't think you could pull that many great matches from WWE pay-per-views in that same 4 year span that would even hold a candle to like the top 10 matches from takeovers in the last 4 years.
There'll be a few that you can put up there, but so, and the reason we wanted to get that out of the way before we even go into the match itself was because like, that's the expectations this match had.
This match has a ton of expectations. I mean, Gargano literally just came off of what people are heralding as the best match in NXT, some in WWE history. Right. And like, how do you one up that performance less than 3 months later?
Right. So the big story is, you know, so So Ciampa comes in, like I said, just boos raining upon him. The best chance ever raining on him. Gargano comes out to a nuclear pop, and basically they just draw this out. I mean, it's first off it is vicious. Like there is it's not even a stiffness. It is a viciousness. Like there's intent behind everything. Like Gargano is laying it in on Ciampa, like to great extent. Ciampa also, he's jacked to shit. Like this dude.
Oh yeah,
he is
freaking best shape of his career
without a doubt. Like we're talking Jinder Mahal shape for Ciampa. Like he is jacked beyond belief. And so whenever he hits anything of force on Gargano, he really just absolutely waylays him in a way that really, really puts it to him. And I think that's the first, the first 5 or 10 minutes is just, they're just laying into each other. And I think that, once it gets out on the floor, and they just start just peppering each other. You have the great stuff with the table, right? Ciampa suplexes Gargano off the damn table onto the floor, which is, it doesn't look insane, but it is insane. Like that is like, that's a freaking insane spot. They build to the powerbomb spot really well. On the exposed concrete. That's the first time also, by the way, that there's been exposed concrete on a WWE pay-per-view in forever. Like that just doesn't happen anymore.
I can't even think, when was the last time that, probably when the Nexus first came, didn't Wade Barrett hit like a wasteland on John Cena on concrete? And that's been almost a decade ago.
It's been a long time since that happened.
Yeah, for sure.
And it is, and the other thing is they build the drama up. They know, they know how to make the spots matter. They show you something, they get through, some really cool stuff, and then all of a sudden you remember it. And that powerbomb spot, the thud. Ciampa's a crazy person. Oh, my first match back off a blown ACL. What am I going to do? I'll take a powerbomb off the apron onto concrete. Sure.
Yeah.
Just, that's insane. I mean, it's just insane. It really is. It's not just full of things like that.
Yeah, no, the whole match, it starts at 100 miles per hour and does not slow down for 45 minutes.
No.
Like, we've talked about epics on here before where there's been, like, this slow build and then they just go for it. This match, they just go for it and never stop.
Right.
Like, there's obviously your crazy looking stuff in the match, but nothing looks like, there's nothing just outwardly insane. It's just everything in this match looks like it hurts, and it hurts a lot.
Right. And I feel that they understood, how to really get the crowd. Like they knew the points where they could really get the crowd investment to peak. Whenever Ciampa could get in a cheap shot, he got in a cheap shot.
Yeah.
When it came to like, and he did some stuff in this match where you're just like, Ciampa, there's the great spot where, he just destroys Gargano on the outside and he's sitting on the apron and he's like doing the clapping, it's one of the great, it's become a meme essentially now. And it's just like, he just knows how to build to it. And then that built into the second half of this match where Gargano is basically at a point where he needs to start getting a little bit more desperate because, Ciampa is overpowering him in some aspects and is being a bit more cunning about stuff. That's what leads to the powerbomb and then just leads into this crazy ass dramatic finish where they're pulling things off left and right. And when the brace comes off and the brace all of a sudden becomes the focal point of the match, that's when this gets turned into something completely different, something that I didn't expect to happen the way it did. And I think the finish is probably the best finish that NXT ever did. I think, okay.
I would agree with that.
Close. The only thing close is the finish to Bayley Sasha. That's the only Brooklyn thing close. The Brooklyn match, correct.
Yeah, I agree. Because there's this moment in the match where Gargano just looks like he looks at Ciampa in a way that's like, I'm willing to forgive you right now if we stop this. And Ciampa goes for a cheap shot, and then Gargano obviously locks in the Gargano escape with the knee brace. I mean, it's WWE this year. I don't know what it is, but they have produced just a ton of, I know it's a brand built on moments, and it sounds very cliche to say, but they have produced a shit ton of moments this year of like, when I think of wrestling 10 years from now, I will vividly remember that. I'll vividly remember Almas Gargano. I'll vividly remember like Asuka winning the Women's Royal Rumble. Like, there is a lot of stuff from this year that I will remember, and we're not even all the way through April.
Yeah.
Like, and it's absurd.
Yeah. And you know, I think that, you know, Gargano, it really does show you, and I mentioned how him and Daniel Bryan have just kind of, Bryan reached his crescendo, and then it was almost like, oh, Gargano is kind of filling that space in a lot of people's minds. But now they're both they're both peaking in a lot of ways, because Bryan just came back and he's showing he's still the same Daniel Bryan from before he got hurt.
Literally has not lost a step in 3 years.
Not at all. It's insane. And I love the idea that Gargano is this you know, virtuous babyface in an era where you just don't have him. I mean, Bayley, God love her, has been ruined, you know, maybe for the rest of her career on the main roster for whatever reason. I have no idea. And it really just kind of goes to show you that, like in this day and age, the best thing that this feud did was it made an honest to God heel out of Tommaso Ciampa in 2018, getting the reaction he did, not some
it's so hard to put this match into words.
Yeah. I can't get over that. Like, how in 2018, amongst all fans, like, how Ciampa is a made man, as Chris Zellner said on the Takeover show, the Takeover Reaction show. He is a made man. There is nobody on the main roster or the NXT roster that has the heel heat that Tommaso Ciampa has right now. Nobody alive, I think, has the heel heat that Tommaso Ciampa has right now. That is that commodity in 2018. That commodity in 2018 wrestling is so special, so magical. You really can't duplicate it. It has to come organically, just like Daniel Bryan becoming the guy he was, just like Gargano becoming the guy he was. You know, a heel like that, you have to have something. Ciampa has taken this and run with it. You mentioned how, like, the production aspect of it. Look, there are pictures of this match before it went on where Shawn Michaels was talking to Tommaso Ciampa. Like, there's a picture of that. So people talk about how this is very much like a Shawn Michaels-esque match. Guarantee you Shawn Michaels was a part of putting this match together. Reason of using the props the way they did and using the crutch, using the table, using the knee brace like that. How to set up the shots and to make the moments the way they did.
There is not a moment that WWE has been yearning for ever than the Shawn Michaels telling Ric Flair, I'm sorry, I love you, than the Sweet Chin Music from Mania 24. Yeah. That is probably, from a production standpoint, the singular most important thing ever to happen in WWE. I would think the only thing that's close is Stone Cold and the Sharpshooter bleeding and passing out. I think you see a lot of that in this match, especially with the finish where Gargano looks at Ciampa and is like, look, I'll forgive you if we stop this right now. And then obviously it didn't.
Yeah. I do, you know, there's shades of Tully Magnum with that crutch almost hitting, right? Like, you know, Magnum became a changed man after that in a lot of ways. During the I Quit match, he had to go to those lengths to win a match. Gargano was not about to do that, but he was about to do whatever it took to get his job back, as long as was. I mean, that's the other thing. Is like, I damn the booking, damn everything that led to that match. Just that moment, if you want to talk about like what you're supposed to do if you're a babyface and the moral dilemma that you're supposed to be presenting yourself with, what you're supposed to come to decisions like that, what you're supposed to do in those situations, and that's the decision you make, and you still win because of it. It doesn't become your downfall. Like, if you're booking a babyface in 86 Mid-South, if you're booking a babyface in like 91 WWF, like that's the stuff you dream about, and that working, you know, that's pro wrestling at its most basic foundations. And man, did they pull this off. And that's, like I said, it's like, I know that from an actual wrestling standpoint, you know, Gargano Almas is the, you know, just an incredible, incredible match. The ending just, it's always going to stick with me in a kind of a bad way. And while I cannot deny everything that led up to that, this match had the payoff. This match had the drama, and this match had literally two guys at the peaks of their careers putting on a performance that if they somehow do better than this, I can't wait to see it. I really can't.
Oh yeah. If they have something better than this in them, then I mean, you have to start talking about like all time status, especially for Gargano, who has just been on this, I mean, superhuman run these last 2 years with, I mean, the DIY stuff, against the Revival, even the Authors of Pain stuff like that. Like, a lot of people talk about what happened after that ladder match. That ladder match is like one of the best ladder matches in WWE history, from like bottom none. And then like you have the Almas feud, like four phenomenal matches with Almas, and now he had the CWC run, which we forget about. We forget about the Ciampa Gargano match from the Cruiserweight Classic. Kind of is like a precursor to this in a weird way, which is weird considering they were still tag partners at the time. But like, if you go back and watch the CWC match and watch this, they do a few callbacks.
Yes, they do.
And it's, I mean, it only enhances the experience for you. Like, you can watch either match in a bubble and appreciate them for what they are, but if you watch the CWC match, then watch the TakeOver New Orleans match, it's really like, oh my God, like whoever put this together is a genius. Because they were.
Also, 37 minutes, and it doesn't, from bell to bell, 37 minutes, and it really doesn't feel that long. Like, it really doesn't.
Watching it, I was like, I can't believe, I was like, wow, that felt short. And then I look at my phone and like TakeOver went over 30 minutes. Right. I'm like, what?
It's insane.
And
like I said, you know, one thing that NXT does a really good job of building characters and getting them prepared for the main roster, where your mileage may vary. But they really had a personal feud outside of Bayley Sasha, which wasn't as heated as this, but was built upon this idea that something like that hadn't really happened before in WWE. That was the first time that two women had a feud like that, be center stage like that. I would say that maybe Zayn and Neville was probably the closest thing to it. DIY Revival, obviously, because I'm trying to think of things outside of Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah, but it's like, hard. I mean, it's legitimately really hard. You think about the best stuff in NXT, Gargano is like the vocal point. Like, it's weird. I never thought anybody would be a better ace of NXT. And it's weird to call somebody an ace when they've never won the title. But Gargano is like the ace of NXT.
Yeah. Now, he's become the standard bearer in a way that I think, while a lot of people were hoping he would be good, he would be great. nobody expected this. Nobody expected him to be one of the best wrestlers on earth, if not the best wrestler on earth, at any point in his run. And he's done it in a way that, you know, questionable booking decisions aside, with Almas, this was what people wanted. This was the match everybody was waiting for, and it delivered. Like I said, like the only way that Almas Gargano ever gets topped is if somehow Gargano and Ciampa happens in a way that they do it really quickly after this and capitalize on it. And they did. And I thought they were going to wait till Brooklyn, and they didn't. They decided to do it at WrestleMania, and it became the best match NXT ever did for me. I know that people are going to say there are other matches that that might be better, but I'm not seeing it right now. I'm not even going to argue with you
because there's this match and the Almas match is so close, and even the 2 out of 3 DIY Revival match is close, but it's just like
Sasha Bailey.
Yeah, Sasha Bailey's close. Zayn Neville is close for me on a personal level. Yeah,
Zayn Nakamura is close, but
yeah. But the thing about all those other matches and Zayn Nakamura is Zayn Nakamura definitely goes way, 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 way down on rewatch. Uh-huh. And all these other matches, I think, only improve on rewatch. Nakamura Zayn is like the best NXT match that completely gets ruined by a second viewing. Like, it was definitely a one-time-only deal. Now, if you've only seen that match one time, and it was when it was live, it's probably, like, the best NXT match ever. But
it's going to be difficult for me to think of any way going forward that NXT could like, equal this. Now, they're going to have their opportunities. I think that if this is what they see off of this, that having an actual, because I think they really like to pay off and take over increments. Like they like the 3-month builds for takeovers and such. That's what they've basically done in the past. It kind of like a touring aspect almost. And I feel like that, while it's good, like I think they feel now like if they get the right two people, like to pay off something a year, like an actual year, not just like casual references here and there, like an actual year build. Like, I think that they have it in them to do it, but they just have to have the right people involved. And that's going to be the tough part. It's like, how do you find the right people to kind of do what Gargano and Ciampa had in a way that, like.
And obviously, everybody has to stay healthy, like, for a whole year. Like, I mean, we talk about Gargano Ciampa, but this feud also had other revolving parts like Almas and like Zelina and like Candice. And like, if one of them gets injured during this, like this doesn't get pulled off nearly as well. Right. Or God forbid Ciampa wasn't able to come back in January. Like
I'm sure everybody has watched it, but I, you know, with your Zayn Nakamura comment, like this does hold up on rewatch without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it 3 times. Yeah.
It's insane. Go back and watch it. Go back and give another shot and just take it all in, because I think it's the most, like I said, it is the most singular NXT match ever. It's the best NXT match ever. And it's going to take a lot for them to find something like this again. It really is.
Yeah.
And then they
eventually will. That's just the NXT way. Like I've been saying, there's no way they're going to top this. Well, there's no way they're going to top this. Well, now there's no way they're going to top this. But then like,
let's see it.
Something eventually will probably top this.
Yeah.
Which is, absurd to think about, and who's to know, it could be Gargano Ciampa again. Like I'm excited to see what they do next.
It was a year in the making, and it paid off in spades, and
lived up to
it. Now we go forward thinking what the hell NXT is going to try and do to top itself this time, and man, they might figure something out, but this is going to stick with this for a while. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, Tanner, we've done another one. We're at 12. We've done a dozen of these things, and good work as always. Very, very, very fun stuff to talk about the professional wrestling with you.
Absolutely.
And now that we are done, let's talk about where people can find us on the interwebs.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Tanner1495. I host another podcast where the day this podcast drops is actually that podcast's 1 year anniversary. You can find us on Twitter at AYCH Podcast and all your podcasting services, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, Overcast. Just search All You Can Hear Podcast and you'll find us.
Cool. And then you can find me at Mr. Tim Livingston on Twitter and follow at PPW Petaluma. This week will be our next show, May the 4th, at the Phoenix Theater in Petaluma, as always. So check it out. You can get tickets online at Facebook.com. Just search for PPW Petaluma. So great work again, Tanner. And we'll be back next week with some more goodness for your ear holes on the Match of the Week podcast.